Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. Former Arizona governor candidate Kari Lake has been asking the courts to still overturn the results of the 2022 election. Lake also asked for the revote, but only for her race, just in Maricopa County. A new bill to charge fentanyl dealers with first-degree murder for overdose death had been circling the Arizona Senate. The bill would apply to drug dealers, mutual friends, and anyone who knowingly passes along the deadly opioid. According to recent data, Arizona has been rated the 11th worst state for those seeking to live off the grid. The state's lowest ranking category is affordability. Two men in Yuma have been taken to the hospital from being in a car accident. The police report says the driver may have been drunk at the time of the accident. No other info from the police was available. A 13-year-old from Riverview Elementary School in El Mirage has been arrested for having a gun. Police say a student had a semi-automatic pistol in their backpack and gave the gun to another student when they got to school. Follow us on Facebook at Yuma Daily News for the latest local and state news in Yuma and in Arizona. That's news for now. I'm Kendra White.
As a veteran of the United States military, I can finally get the opportunity to enjoy special events, things that we couldn't afford, thanks to VetDix.
Every empty seat at a concert, a game, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can give our veterans a special event where they too can create their own cherished memories. Visit vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
Prescription opioids can be addictive and dangerous.
I was given a prescription opioid pain medication, and within only a few months, I was completely addicted. I lost everything. I had to leave school and stop playing sports in college, and I started to watch my life slip away. I want people to know that these drugs are addictive. One prescription can be all it takes to lose everything.
Prescription opioids. It only takes a little to lose a lot. Visit cdc.gov/rxawareness.
Experience the future of connectivity with Spectrum One. You get Spectrum Internet delivering the fastest speeds in the nation for $49.99 a month. Advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced privacy and security, free for 12 months. And a Spectrum mobile line with unlimited talk, text, and data, plus nationwide 5G, free for 12 months. That's Spectrum One. Visit Spectrum.com or your local Spectrum store today. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go, but I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there, providing hot meals, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding.
To learn more, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
560 KBLU.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Good morning, Yuma. Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law. I am Sean Garner, an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hanson. I'm in studio here with Adam Hanson, my partner in law, and Cody Beeson, who is running the boards and making us sound good. This morning, we have an exciting show for you. Today, we're going to talk about a proposal on federal ban for gas stoves and other gas appliances. So, nothing you like more on a Monday morning to hear about than the federal government digging more into your personal business and into your household habits.
Well, you know what? I appreciate you explaining this because I've seen memes. I've seen people talk about the stoves and all that. I didn't dive into it, Sean. So what is all this new gas stuff about? Because you're going to explain what we've been seeing, right?
So, of course, any opportunity that right now the narrative on the left gets to indicate that the burning of fossil fuels, natural gas, oil, coal that gets involved in our day-to-day activity, anytime that they can reduce that and infringe upon what we can do and think upon for ourselves, they will. And so now we've already imposed the reduction. And what's interesting is it was in the Inflation Reduction Act, but it's the reduction of the use of fossil fuels in certain appliances like cooking and gas-fired stoves. So they're attempting to direct your day-to-day choices and activity to fit the narrative that if we don't do exactly what they say, then the oceans will boil and the ice caps will melt, all the polar bears will die off, and we'll be extinct. There's not a lot of extrinsic evidence for that, but it doesn't matter. We only follow the science when the very specific arm of science supports the narrative. When it doesn't support the narrative or when there's not enough statistics, we'll make them up, or we'll just use a scare tactic and go off the emotional effect. And that seems to be what's happening here. For example, think about this. If we were to ban gas stoves, and the narrative on the gas stoves is not only is it burning a fossil fuel to turn on a gas stove because that's natural gas, then that's bad in itself, because all you have to do is include fossil fuel into the sentence and you're already behind it right there. And then they go into, well, it's bad because of the pollutants inside the house. There's going to be carbon dioxide in the house. There's going to be carbon monoxide in the house for the unburned gas, because there's no carbon monoxide for unburned gas. If there is, it's minuscule. And then there's also methane. And what they're saying is this is bad for the kids. Think about the kids. We got to save the kids. It's going to cause asthma. They could die in their sleep from a gas leak in the stove. They could go up in flames because this is an open flame stove. And so we need to get rid of these gas stoves. Instead, we could have zero emission, clean electric stoves. And all you got to do is plug them in and it heats up magically without burning any fossil fuels. And that sounds brilliant. Why haven't we thought of this earlier?
I mean, at your house, but fossil fuels are being consumed somewhere else, at the power plant or somewhere in the line.
Yeah, and you go on YouTube and there's a lot of these little walkthroughs where individuals go through. Brian Crowder is one of them. He goes through and he says, hey, when you plug your car in and charge it, where does the electricity come from? Well, it comes from the building that we're plugging into. Yes, but where does that building get it? And most people can't answer that question. Is it coming from coal? Is it coming from the burning of oil? Is it coming from the burning of natural gas? Where is the electricity being generated from? Is it coming from solar panels or wind? Is it coming from geothermal electricity or nuclear? And very, very few, if any, can answer that question. And the reality is, if we're being generous, only about 10% is coming from what we call renewable resources, and that is solar panels, wind, geothermal, and things like that. Now, you call those renewable, although the appliances, the solar panels and the blades for the windmills, those aren't necessarily renewable. Those we need to break down and they're technically hazardous waste once they're used up and their lifespan is only about 25 years. Yet that's the terminology. So when we plug in any time, we're using 90% fossil fuels. A lot of it is coal. The other portion is natural gas and oil that's being burned to generate this electricity. And then we've got nuclear, which nuclear truly is very green. Adam, I want you to chime in on this. When you think of the federal government reaching in and saying, you've got to use now an electric stove because you're building a house right now and you're designing that house and your wife is a professional baker. Her business is Sweets by Jess.
Sweet Cakes by Jess.
And so she bakes professionally. What does she prefer, electric or gas?
She likes gas, and I'm trying to get her to move to electric because I think electric is a lot more predictable. So in our current stove, it's actually a propane stove because we're out in the boonies. So we have propane tanks that feed into our house. And in order to use that stove, I bought the stove at Home Depot. And when I went to go buy the stove, I had to make sure that it was a convertible stove. So it came with a conversion kit. And basically what you do is you remove the nozzles that it comes with that typical natural gas uses in a typical house, like in the city limits, mm-hmm. they'll use natural gas. So you buy your stove, your gas stove over at Home Depot or Lowe's, and you bring it home, you plop it in, hook it up to the gas, you're good to go. With propane, the nozzles, the ends of them, they're a little bit narrower or are smaller, it looks like, the diameter of the hole for the gas to come out of. And so it comes with some of them come with a conversion kit, but you have to be careful about that because some of them don't. You have to see when you're buying a stove or an oven, does this have the ability to do propane? And so when I found the stove that we liked, we get it home, we hooked it up, I did the conversion kit, you swap out these the heads of the nozzles and things like that. And then, it worked. It worked like a charm. What I find is that there's unevenness when we bake things in the oven. So I would prefer electric. I know we're talking about everybody's going to electric and the government's mm-hmm. going to mandate that. I would prefer electric just because I've seen from experience that electric tends to be a lot more predictable, especially when you're cooking in the oven or whatever. My wife really likes gas because that's kind of old school and reliable, and she feels like it gets hotter if you need it to be hotter. But we're working on that. She's experienced electric as well. When we were traveling to Europe, we did like macaron class and stuff in Paris, and they use tabletop electric ovens that can fit full-size cookie sheets. And she was really impressed by that. And so she's kind of moving over. When you were talking before about the government getting involved in regulating this type of a move to only electric, the first thought that came to my mind was an old kid's book. I don't know if you've read this, Sean. If you give a mouse a cookie, and in that book, there's a mouse and he lives in this house, and the residents of the house start giving him stuff and they give him a cookie, you know, and then he wants milk to go with his cookie. And then he wants this. And by the end of the story, he's basically taken over the house. And that's the analogy that I would like to make to the government. And it goes back to the COVID stuff that we saw in the early months of 2020, where the argument is, well, the government knows best and they're looking out for our well-being, and they have all the answers. They know science, they have all these experts, and they get to tell us or dictate to us, hey, that's bad for you and this is good for you. Whether it's your gender or it's a sickness that comes to the United States in some form or fashion, or it's natural gas versus electric, or it's energy coming from solar panels. They know better than we do, and therefore we ought to trust them. And we saw, I thought, a good testing ground during the COVID outbreak of how much the government actually knows. And it's very little. You had these experts telling us, you've got to quarantine, you've got to limit the spread, and it goes on and on and on. And in reality, looking back now, we're what, 2-3 years down the road, and most of what we were told was wrong. It was horrible advice. And we all had that sense when we were in it, I believe. I mean, to be locked down into your house against your natural ability to go outside or go to the grocery store is just, I think we had it inside of us. Something's not right here, but the government knows best, so we're going to do what they say. I think we've become too reliant on the government to the extent that we trust them to tell us what's good for us and what's bad for us, and therefore they're going to regulate our lives in order to dictate to us what we ought to use to cook in our kitchen, how we need to spend our time, our free time, what we can and we cannot do, what guns we can possess, what guns we can't possess, if we can possess a gun at all, whether it goes down to even our cars. Sean, you drive an electric hybrid car, and there's so many regulations on just that facet of your daily life, going from here to your house, and the chargers that have to be used, the batteries and that can be used and cannot be used because of explosions that have happened in the past. So the government is just entwined in our lives. I would like to see a world or a government that isn't so ingrained in my daily life to the extent that I can make a decision based on experience not only my experience, but the experiences of others. Sean, you drive this car and you say, Adam, this is a piece of junk. Like, if I had a do-over, I would not buy this car. It's unreliable. It barely, you know, gets the gas mileage it is supposed to be getting. I would not recommend it. Okay, because I trust you, I'm going to take that and I'm not going to buy that car. I'm going to try something else. So we learn through experiences of others how the market reacts. And I think we already have a mechanism in place to actually weed out the bad products or the bad things in our lives. For example, if I buy a stove and I trust this manufacturer, let's say it's GE. I buy a GE stove from Home Depot. I get it home, I hook it up, and it sets on fire and burns down my house. That's a horrible, horrible thing. And I'm going to let people know. I'm probably going to sue GE for a faulty product. And lo and behold, other people around the country had this same GE stove, and it combusted spontaneously in their house. So what's the remedy there? It's a lawsuit. You're going to do a lawsuit. You're going to sue GE for a faulty product. And I'm going to get an award according to what the jury or the judge feels like I'm entitled to. I'm going to be made whole, and even more so in most cases. So we already have a judicial system set up to weed out the bad products. It might take time and effort, but that's what the design is for. Not only that, but we have a public market or capitalism system that tends to work. When I go on Amazon and I'm looking for a product, the first thing I do is I look at the reviews of others. And you'll see those reviews that are probably paid reviews because, oh, this is the greatest product I've ever seen in my life. And then once you get down and you start going through the weeds, you see honest reviews. Well, it worked for 3 months and then it died. Or I don't know what everybody else is talking on here about because I got this product and it was a piece of junk. So I go through those reviews and I judge my buying power or what